Welcome to my message today on the topic of trade in your depression for Jesus's encouragement. Doesn't that sound good? To trade in your depression and to have Jesus's encouragement in your life. Well, listen, I'm glad you're here today because we're going to look at God's word and we're going to discover how to do that, how to trade in depression. And listen, so many of us are struggling with depression. I mean, of course, all of us have struggled with depression in life, but it just seems like with the things going on in this world, I would describe it almost like an epidemic of depression in our culture today. But God wants us to trade that in. God wants us to give us His encouragement. So again, thank you for being here for this message. Now, this message is part of a series called The Great Exchange, the Great Exchange. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You see, when you're in Christ, and that's the two most important words, in my opinion, in that verse, in Christ. Listen, there's a change, right? There's an exchange where you become new, right? You become new. The old things pass away. And behold, meaning you can see the change. Things in your life become new. Do you desire a change? Do you desire a new life? Well, listen, all that is available in Christ. All that's available in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look into God's Word today. And in this series, what we're doing is we're looking at a Bible book called 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And listen, in the book of 2 Corinthians, it reveals, listen to me very closely, it reveals seven beautiful ways Jesus can change your life. Seven beautiful ways that Jesus can change your life. So today, let's look at this beautiful way of trading in that old depression and having encouragement. I want to encourage you today. And we're going to find this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 through 11. And we're actually going to work our way through that passage, 2 Corinthians 1, 1 through 11. But right now, I want to read what I call the key verse for today, and that is chapter 1, verse 3. Here the Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Now, there are many names given in the Bible to describe God, but here we find one of my personal favorites. He is the God of all comfort. You see, God is a God of comfort, and He can comfort you. You don't have to stay in your depression. He can lift you up, and He can give you encouragement because He is the source of comfort. He is the God of all comfort. Now, as we look at this passage, 2 Corinthians 1, 1 through 11, I want to highlight that this passage reveals how to find encouragement when you are depressed. Paul was depressed. We're going to read that passage very, very shortly in chapter 1, verse 8. Paul was depressed, and he shares what he did to be encouraged. Now, notice in this passage, the word comfort or consolation are repeated a total of 10 times in this passage. I mean, just think about that. Just 10 short verses, 11 short verses, and 10 times this idea of comfort is repeated. You see, both of these words, the words comfort and consolation, both of these words have the same Greek word, which means encouragement. So when you see the word comfort here, or consolation, the Greek root word for this is the idea of encouragement. Encouragement. So with that in mind, let's talk about this topic of depression and how to find encouragement. How can you do this? How can you trade in your depression for Jesus' encouragement? Now, before we take a dive into that, I just want to talk about the fact that depression is a common emotion. I mean, I don't want you to sit there and think, well, nobody is struggling with depression like me. That's not true, all right? Depression is a common emotion. And listen, and if you get depressed, it doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. I want to say that real loud and clear. I mean, if you're struggling with depression, it doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. And the greatest illustration perhaps I could give you is, who are we talking about today who was depressed? The Apostle Paul. I mean, honestly, you know, next to Jesus, he's probably the greatest Christian to ever walk the face of this earth. I mean, God used him in so many incredible ways, including the fact that God used him to write a significant portion of the New Testament. He was a great Christian, but yet he struggled with depression. In fact, in this passage, 2 Corinthians 1:8, listen to what Paul said. He says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life." Now, notice here, you know, the transparency. You know, I respect transparency. I respect the fact that Paul actually says, we don't want you to be ignorant about the fact that we were really going through a hard time. I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact that I was dealing with a depression so much that he said we despaired even of life. I mean that's called depression, right? He despaired. I mean, he despaired even of life. Have you been there? Are you there right now? Have you been there? Are you there right now? You know what you need to do? You need to just admit that, right? You need just to admit the fact that you are struggling with depression. And again, it doesn't make you a bad Christians. Christians, listen, we're not immune to depression. We're not immune to depression. We will indeed sometimes be depressed. And if you're depressed, it's okay to say so, all right? So I just want to get that out of the way, all right? If you're dealing with depression, say so, all right? And then take God's word and apply it to your life. So what did Paul do to move from depression to Jesus' encouragement? Here it is. Number one, remember what God is to you. Remember what God is to you. I mean, who is God, all right? Who is God? And Paul begins to praise God. He begins to praise God. You ever heard the statement, prayer changes things? Prayer changes things. That's an awesome statement, and I believe it to be true. Prayer does change things. But let me tell you something else. Praise changes things. Praise changes things. Listen, if you're in the midst of depression, you need to praise God, all right? And Paul begins to break out in praise for God in three different areas. Number one, praise God for His sovereignty. His sovereignty. Paul begins 2 Corinthians 1:3a and says, "Blessed be the God." Blessed be the God. He begins to bless God. He begins to praise God. And notice he says, "the God." The God. And what I get out of that is we're talking about a sovereign, almighty God. And God's sovereignty is the attribute by which He rules His entire creation. Let me say that again. God's sovereignty is the attribute by which He rules His entire creation. And we need to remember that He is a sovereign God. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 11:36, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen." Again, "for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom the glory forever. Praise God. Amen, it says. I mean, we need to realize, you know, God is a sovereign God. And listen, he will not allow things in your life that he's not going to use for good. I mean, it might not be good, the things we go through. I'm not saying what you're going through right now is good, but I can tell you this much, a sovereign God can use it for good. And he didn't allow it into your life for bad. He allowed whatever you're going through in your life to strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. And then nextly, praise God not just for his sovereignty, praise God for his love, his love. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:3b, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Listen, one of the biggest struggles you'll face in your Christian walk in spiritual battle, spiritual warfare, is doubting God loves you. I mean, it's something you're going to deal with in your life, and particularly when you're going through a hard time. It's easy to let that slip in your mind. You know, if God loves me, he wouldn't let me go through what I'm going through. Let me tell you something. That is not true. He does indeed love you. And Paul talks about his love when he talks about God. He says he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. I mean, what that says is love right there. He's the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, God the Father gave his only, as the Bible says in John 3:16, his only begotten Son, so that we could be saved and go to heaven. And he did that because he's the Father of mercies. He's the Father of mercies. Mercy. God is a God of mercy. And mercy is the fact that God doesn't give us what we deserve. He doesn't give us what we deserve. We we're sinners, right? He's pure. He's perfect. I mean, we're just the opposite, right? We deserve hell, but because of his mercy, he saves us, right? And the way he saved us was he gave his son. In fact, Romans 8:31 and 32, I love this, says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Let me just stop right there and say real loud and clear. Listen, if God's for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? And how did God show that he was for us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Listen to me. God loves you. He loves you. And he expressed his love to you by sending the Lord Jesus Christ to hang on a cross, to suffer for your sin, right? I mean, that was an expression of love. He suffered because he loved you so much, and he wants you to be in heaven with him for eternity. Praise God for his love. And then praise God for his comfort. He's the God of all comfort. He's the God of all comfort. In fact, he goes on to say in verse number 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. You see, he's the God of comfort. He's the God of all comfort. And we got to understand this. You know, we turn so many times to false comforters, right? That let us down every time, right? We turn to you know, alcohol. We turn to drugs. We turn to improper relationships. I mean, we turn to material things. We turn to all these different things. Food's a big one, you know, comfort foods. But listen, God is the help we need. Those things are going to maybe give us some temporary relief, but in the end, we're going to be back where we started, all right? He's the God of all comfort. And don't miss that statement, all. He can help you no matter what you're facing. So listen, remember what God is to you. Who is God? Number one, praise God for His sovereignty, praise God for His love, and praise God for His comfort. Listen, praise God. Prayer changes things, but let me tell you something else. Praise changes things. Number two, remember what God does through you. Not only what God does to you, remember what God does through you. You see, what God does through you is God gives you comfort, right? God gives comfort to you. It says in 2 Corinthians 1:4a, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Who comforts us in all of our tribulation. I mean, you know, the bottom line is God never promised life would be easy. In fact, He just the opposite, right? I mean, there's verse after verse in the Bible telling us life is going to be hard, right? But here's what else the Bible says. God's going to comfort us. God's going to help us. God's going to help us. Listen, He's not going to just, you know, leave us to ourselves. He wants to come and He wants to help us. And notice this, God has to work in you before He can work through you. This is going to lead us to our next point, but we got to understand this. God has to work in you before He can work through you. God has to come and comfort you, right? And in doing so, this leads to the next thing that God does through you. God gives comfort through you. Now, does God give comfort to you? Listen, God gives comfort through you. And let me tell you something. This gets really exciting, at least to me. I hope to you. I love this thought. 2 Corinthians 1:4b, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort. Let me say it again. You say you're like stuck on those words. I am stuck on them. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. What does all that mean? Here's what it means. God, listen, when you go through suffering and pain, and God comes and comforts you, you know what else He does? He equips you, right? He equips you. God does not comfort you just to make you comfortable, but also to make you a comforter. Let me say that again. God does not comfort you just to make you comfortable, but also to make you a comforter. In other words, listen to me. God will never waste a hurt. And one of the things He will do with a hurt is He will equip you to help people facing that same kind of hurt. In other words, you know, it's kind of like, you know, people are in a sense are like God with skin on. And what I mean by that is these are people that God sends to us, right? That, you know, and listen, there's nothing like someone who's gone through an experience, right? And God has comforted them and helped them to talk to you about what you're going through. You know, the bottom line is, you know, it's hard to really understand something, unless you go through it yourself, right? And, some of you have heard me make the difference between sympathy and empathy. Don't miss this. Listen carefully. Sympathy, all of us can sympathize, all right? And you should, right? No matter what somebody's going through, we ought to express our, you know, sorrow to them and concern for them and be sympathetic, right? But listen, a notch deeper is not just sympathy, but empathy, where you can feel their pain because you've been there. You've been there. And listen, part of getting out of your depression and finding encouragement is to remember, listen, God, He's doing something through me, all right? God is going to use this for me to be a blessing. God is going to use this to help me help others. This is not going to be a pain that goes to waste. It's going to be a pain that's used to be a great blessing to many, many people. So what can you do to trade your depression for Jesus' encouragement? Remember what God is to you. And then secondly, remember what God does through you. And then listen to this. Remember what God does in you. In you. You know what God does in you when He takes you through a valley? of depression. You know what God does? God develops, listen, your trust in Him. These are the times. It's like trust is like a muscle. If you want strong muscles, you gotta work them out, right? And trust is like a muscle. It has to be worked out to be strong. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:9, yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Don't miss that statement. He says, listen, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. I mean, we were going through great, great challenge. And here's what he says. Why? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. Let me tell you something. God is working in your life right now. And as you're struggling with that, just know, listen, He's building up your faith. And I like to say it this way. Faith begins where human understanding ends. Don't you ever forget that. And if you've been with me any length of time, you've heard me say that before. And if you stay with me any length of time, you're going to hear it again, because it's one of the most important statements I could ever make to you. Faith begins where human understanding ends. And what I mean by that is, if you understand something, you will trust in yourself, right? Meaning you will say, yay, that's good. I like that, right? But when you don't understand, that is where faith begins. That is where you got to say, God, I don't understand why I'm going through this, but I am going to trust You. I am going to trust You. And the Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your understanding. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. And one of the passages that means so much to me, personally, and also professionally as a pastor, I've shared this many times because it speaks deep to me, this passage. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's Isaiah 55:8-9. My thoughts, they're not your thoughts. Okay. We don't think the way God thinks, right? But here's the deal. His ways, they're not our ways, right? I mean, if we had our way, we would never hurt, right? If we had our way, we would never go through suffering, right? If we had our way, we would never face depression. But here's what we got to realize. Just like the heavens are higher than the earth, I mean, sometimes actually when I'm struggling like this, I'll actually look up in the sky, like way up there. I mean, it's so high up there, right? Thousands and thousands and thousands of feet, just to the clouds or whatever, you know, much less the entire universe or whatever. God says, listen, what I have is higher than that, all right? And so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Here's the bottom line. You know, God is too wise to ever make a mistake. God is too wise to ever make a mistake. And we have to trust Him. We have to trust God. Trust God right now. And I'm not going to promise you you're going to understand it on this earth. I will not dare make that promise. I mean, many times I've been in a situation where, you know, I'm struggling with faith as much as the person talking to me or whatever, you know, because I don't understand sometimes, right? But here, listen, I got to trust God, all right? I got to trust God. Remember what God does in you. And then, listen, God also delivers you from sin, right? Number one, from the penalty of sin in the past, and this is called justification, all right? So in relationship to sin, there's three areas: the past, the present, the future. God delivers us from the penalty of sin in the past. And the Bible uses the word justification. And maybe you've heard that word. It means just as if you never sinned, right? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:10a, who delivered us from so great a death. You see, because of our sin, we deserve death. We deserve hell. But he delivered us from that. And then listen, from the power of sin in the present, and this is called sanctification, meaning in the present, God wants to make us holy. It says in 2 Corinthians 1:10b, and does deliver us. And then listen to this. Hey, it's getting better and better here. From the presence of sin in the future, and this is called glorification. I mean, justification, that's for the past, right? The penalty of sin. And listen, sanctification, that's in the present, that's for the power of sin. But listen, one day, you know, we're going to escape this old sinful flesh and this old sinful world, right? And one day we're going to be in a glorified state. We're going to be in heaven forever and forever. This is what God is doing in your life. This is what God is doing in you. So number one, listen, this is great. I love this passage. Remember what God is to you when you're depressed. Number two, remember what God does through you when you're depressed. Remember what God does in you when you're depressed. And we close with this. Remember what God does for you. What does God do for you? Well, listen, one thing he does for you is he will bring people in your life to serve as prayer partners. God provides prayer partners for you. Now, let me say this. When you ask. Listen, prayer. Remember I said praise changes things, but what did I start with? Prayer changes things. And we need to pray not only for ourselves, but we need to ask others to pray for us. And I just want to look at you right now, and I'm going to beg you, all right? I'm not just going to ask you. I'm going to beg you, pray for me. I desire your prayers, all right? Don't ever be ashamed to ask people to pray for you. And listen, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:11a, you also helping together in prayer for us. God was using Paul's prayer partners, and I love the wording, helping together in prayer for us. When you pray for somebody, you are helping them. And listen, that's why you need to ask people to pray for you so they can help you. In fact, listen, in at least 7 of his letters, Paul asked people for prayer support. I want you to think about that. In at least 7 of his letters, Paul asked people for prayer support. I mean, the book of Romans, the book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and Philemon. Over and over and over again, pray for me, 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 pray for me. I think I got 7. I was trying to get 7. Pray for me. Pray for me. What does God do for you? He'll give you prayer partners, but you got to be like Paul. You got to say, pray for me. Pray for me. If you're depressed right now, I mean, talk to somebody right now and say, I'm depressed. And ask them to pray for you. And one thing we have in our church is called growth groups, where you can get together with other people on site or online. We have groups that meet online. And if you're on our online service, you can be in an online growth group. Listen, these are great prayer partners, people that you can do life with. Email me, wecare@capitalbaptist.org. wecare@capitalbaptist.org, and we'll get you linked up with a growth group. But listen, maybe not a growth group, but maybe there's some other way. There's lots of ways, actually. You could ask somebody to pray for you. All right? And then listen, God answers prayers for you. Not only does God provide prayer partners for you, God answers prayers for you. And listen, you know what you need to say? Thank you. Say thank you. Say thank you, Lord. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:11b as he closes out this passage. That thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Paul is saying, listen, I'm giving thanks because God answered your prayers. And he gave me the gift, right? He gave me the gift. And honestly, I believe that phrase, the gift, is multifaceted. And one of the things is the gift of encouragement. Paul's saying, listen, God used your prayers, right, to lift me up out of this depression. So listen, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to make a trade? All right. Listen, don't stay in that depression. You're going to get depressed. I get depressed. Don't stay in your depression. Make the trade. Trade your depression for Jesus's encouragement.